Good morning, members. We are aware of the tight time frame because the department is expected to be back at 10 o'clock with their Q2 report. So we think that for my class will just highlight some of the key issues that came up from all the documents they presented. So they have given us the performance report for Q2, the financial, an update on the DRR in terms of what the recommendations they've implemented, as well as the risk mitigation report. So Crystal will capture the key issues around the key programs, the targets, and the finances, and then I will highlight some issues that we seem to pass in relation to basically the other deal didn't do in Q2. Thank you. I'm going to be going through the document that has the diagram on the front. The first place we just to remind us what the allocation for the year was. So in total they received 206.2 million and 78.3 of that was the transfer payment for the CGE. So that means the department had an operating budget of 127.8 million then for the financial year 2017-18. If we turn over the page, so that indicator in the presentation that at the end of the second quarter they spent 96.5 million or 47% of the allocated budget. And that includes the second quarter transfer payment to the CGE. When we take the CGE 1 year away, the department's expenditure amounts to 57.3 million or 45% of its operational budget. And by the end of 2017, they transferred 39.1 million to the CGE. So the table below, we have just put in terms of what the allocated trust program and what the expenditure was midway through the financial year, and what the expenditure is of the annual budget. So for program one, basically they spent about half the budget that they allocated. For program two, this is a concern because they allocated 16.6 million, but for a six-month period, they've only spent 4.2 million there in that program, which is only 25% of the program budget. And we know that that is the program that's responsible looking at those intervention mechanisms coming up with the guiding documents around case response of budgeting, all those framework, and visible money being spent there. In terms of program three, they allocated 28.2 million there for the year, and they've spent 13.1 million yen in the first 6 months, which amounts to 46.4%. So as they indicated overall, they've spent about 45% of the operational budget at this point of the financial year. In the little block there, we see comments and questions. So they haven't overspent in the quarter. The only in program 3 that overspent by 1.7 million, but they haven't overspent on the allocated budget that they had for the quarter. But underspent by 4.6 million in program 1 and 4.9 million in program 2. And as I indicated, that halfway through the financial year, they've only spent 26% of the budget for program 2. And that's the program responsible for the facilitation and promotion of social economic empowerment and gender equality through the provision of intervention mechanisms. In terms of the under and over spending deviations, they said that they're still waiting for the reason for deviations from the program. So they haven't given us an indication on why they didn't spend the money. They have some indications that they have given some vacancy, so they saved some money in those instances, but I think we need more clarity around why did you overspend in this program, why did you underspend quite severely in some of the other programs. In terms of irregular expenditure, they indicate that they had 15 instances of irregular expenditure for the quarter, which amounted to 2.2 million. Now in the first quarter, they had only indicated 2 instances of irregular expenditure, and that amounted to 432,000. So that's quite a substantial increase in the irregular expenditure from the first term. On to page 3 and the Australian performance. So they planned 27 targets for the term, for the quarter, and they had only achieved 11 of those targets. And so their performance is the same as in quarter one, where they achieved 41% of their targets. the same thing for quarter two, even though they have less target plans for the second quarter, their performance is still the same. They indicate that as a means of mitigating poor performance, sales managers have been served with consequent management measures to make sure that the performance is better in quarter three. They also say that 80% of the targets that they didn't achieve in quarter one, they've achieved them in the second and third quarters. And just to remind them that there were 19 targets that they didn't achieve in the first quarter of the study. So for program one, they planned 13 targets, they achieved 7. Program two, 6 targets planned, only achieved 1. And for program three, planned 8 targets, only achieved 3. So it's just concerning that in program two and three, the department core business lies those are the children that continuously seem to be performing poorly. And just to highlight that in Turbine 2, out of the 6 targets that were planned, and they only met the one, that one is around the draft framework on the provision of tenancy dignity. None of the others around the gender responsive budgeting, or those other frameworks that they set up, none of those are what they achieved. Just over the page on page 4, so we have just given a little bit of a breakdown in terms of the key target that we need. So for program 1, they say from the audit's general finding that their target that they set was that they would meet 95% of the, or get 95% of those findings by the end of the second quarter. At this point, it only reached 43%. They also set the target of maintaining a less than 2% underspending against the spending plan, but they underspent by more than that in the quarter. In terms of payment of invoices, they indicate that around 99% of invoices were paid on time, but this is an improvement from the first quarter where they only had 63% of the invoices paid on time, and they only had 3 bills that they had paid late. So in terms of program 2, the report on economic empowerment was within the 9-point plan. The analysis report, they say, was submitted and it's only certain of approval. This is outstanding in the first quarter as well, and still on into the second quarter. The draft Women Financial Inclusion Framework, which was to be developed and then approved by the minister, also not achieved, it's still outstanding in quarter one as well. The recommendations on accountability mechanisms for HIVs and functions, competencies, and location of gender focal points. So we're going to have consultation with ministers on the draft gender focal point framework, formality, the gender responsive budgeting framework should have been developed and finalized, it's still incomplete, also outstanding from quarter one. And then they were going to have completed an analysis report on preliminary findings of the National Dialogue on Violence Against Women and Children. And they indicate that they've done social mapping for Northern Cape and Mpumalanga, and that they've done a draft analysis report on the Northern Cape Dialogue. So just in that little block there, like I said, there's very serious engagement with CERN specifically around its core mandate. And since its inception, they've not managed to finalize or implement these frameworks that are supposed to be guiding documents for other departments. So then how does it provide strategic leadership around gender equality and women's empowerment to other departments if these things aren't being finalized? In terms of program 3, they were going to have a report on gender communication information resources loaded onto repositories where people could access them. That's still incomplete from the first quarter, and the report was drafted late because they only recently appointed a director for communication. A consultation with legal issues of government economic incentive schemes, that research has now been outsourced. That's also not completed. And then just in terms of that first target I mentioned there, around the information repositories, that they said that objective was to position the department as a knowledge hub on human, socioeconomic, and gender equality. But this is an objective in 2016-17 as well, and it's still not been met. And I just was looking at some of my notes from our previous meetings. A lot of these things, remember they said, finalize the gender responsibility framework, finalize the financial inclusion policy, those things that have still not been completed. Around the tenancy dignity draft framework that they completed, they indicated to us in May last year that this was something that they had done by June of last year. and submitted to Cabinet and then go public comment. So we are now in February 2018. And like I said, lots of these projects have been coming on since the previous financial year, so that's not new.
Thank you, Crystal. And the next document we'll be looking at is titled BRR 2017 Stacking Framework Q2 Reflection. It's the document that's in Landsat. Just to reiterate to members, the BRR recommendations by this committee for the department was we needed to have more stringent oversight. We needed for the department to submit monthly reports. I've checked with Nerissa. We haven't received monthly reports. In the presentations, they indicate they do look at complying with monthly reports, but they actually wouldn't submit it to the committee. So it's fine indicating to the committee that you do it, but until you submit it, those are two different things. Say you do it versus actually submitting it to the committee. So just on page one of the document, just to reiterate what Crystal was saying. Bearing in mind, we're not looking at Q2 in isolation. It's 6 months into the financial year. We're in February now. We have less than 6 weeks left to the end of the financial year. So technically, they should also be reporting to us in Q3 in a very short period of time. So in 6 weeks' time, this year closes. And the new financial year will commence. And to reiterate again, the second program actually needs to do less in Q2 in terms of targets. So they needed to do less, but the performance was also poor as compared to Q1. So even though they were expected to do a little bit less, they landed up doing even more than what they were expected to fulfill. So all in all, it's fine, yes, target as compared to target Q1. As we move over to page 2, just to reiterate again what Crystal was saying. So we had 19 targets unmet from the previous financial, from the previous quarter. So if you add the 19 plus 27, it meant for Q2 they needed to do 46 targets. So they reported on the 27th of Q2. They're saying 80% they achieved in terms of those 19 target net. But if you look at 18%, 15 out of 19 targets come to 78%. 16 out of 19 targets come to 84%. So how do you achieve 80% of 19 targets? So I think clarity needs to be sought out. So what do you mean by you achieved 80% of your target if there were 19? And in terms of key issues for consideration, I've looked at how some of our BRR matters and what they reported on now. And they, yes, they provide a detailed presentation of for each recommendation, how far they've come. But looking at their strategic focus on the department, so they outline what they intend doing and how these relate to the NTSS outcomes. 6 months into the year, Q2, they only have 4 targets for the core program. So again, you've got to ask yourself, how do those 4 targets help us to achieve the strategic focus 6 months into the year? A very important matter, members, is 3.2. We received an erratum on the APC for 2017-18. It was dated the 7th of February. That's what the clerk was facing. I'll just ask Nerissa to explain what the clerk was facing in terms of the erratum. But just to be check with members, in the 2 previous financial years, we had a revision to the APC. So in other words, they scrapped targets, they changed, and it was called a revision. In this erratum, targets would change. So it wasn't that there was a mistake in terms of a number. If we think back to 6 years ago, we had an erratum in our BNE where the paragraph they indicated the incorrect amount or something. So in a week or a month's time they submitted an erratum, that page was changed. In this instance, the Iraqi around the 70 dignity campaign shows target being scratched up and new targets being replaced. So the old ATP showed that we needed to have a finalized framework for the 70 dignity. The Iraqi shows that we have a draft framework that would be delivered now. So I'll just ask Nelly to explain what the clerk of paper see the difference between an Iraqi versus a vision of the ATP.
Thank you, everybody, members of the teacher conference. Our chair in terms of the parliamentary process, in terms of phasing the Iraqi, what they told me is that if the department has spent the Iraqi to them, it means they do not phase it formally parliamentary level. They will just send it to the relevant authority. But if it was a design ATP altogether, that's where the table was. Wanted to check as to when, whether they have tabled the Iraqi or not. They don't table formally when it comes to the ATP. They only change the content to the 11 committee, but with the revised ATP, they do table formally. Thank you.
Thank you, Nerissa. So, key thing that is relevant to the ATP. We no longer now have a finalized framework, which would be an output. It's now a draft framework and research papers and more consultations. Those would be the targets that they would like to achieve for the best of the financial year 17-18. On page 3, another key important issue to note is changes to the organizational structure. They've noted on slide 5 and 6 that they'll be filling unfunded posts in program 2 and they're creating new posts in program 3. But I've checked what they've submitted to this committee in terms of the organizational structure. On the 31st of May 2017, they provided us for each program a breakdown of key persons responsible and the position and what it entails. Now, what they've given us today in this presentation doesn't coincide with what we received on 31st of May 2017. It's different. So, for example, they have now a deputy director and a director for young women. I'm not sure what that is in relation to in terms of their targets and whether that fits in. And that also now we have a deputy director and a director for evaluation. I don't know what happened to the monitoring, because on the 31st of May 2017, we still had a person responsible for M&E, not just evaluation, but monitoring and evaluation. And then there's also a deputy director for and director for international relations. That's all in program C. If we just move over to page 4, I've just pulled out some of the key things that came up in the targets, which they were either achieved or not achieved, which I think is noteworthy. So the impact report, all they explained to members is what the DPME will be doing around changes to impact. But I think the most important thing for the committee is to know, well, what were your challenges in terms of the impact? What were those? What are you doing to improve on that for the next 6 months? Internal audit projects and findings, 6 months into the year, there's still recommendations which have not been implemented. Yes, they say it's consequence management, but again, why 6 months into the year are we still having to deal with recommendations that have not been implemented? Around SEM and financial management, so besides that illegal expenditure which Crystal referred to, they're saying, well, we've improved, we only have 3 invoices that were not paid within that 30-day period. Again, we've asked the department on numerous occasions, give us an indication as to what the cost. Because you could have 3 invoices, but then the amount outstanding outweighs the invoices that you've actually paid for within the allocated period. So it's only in terms of number accounts invoices, but what was the total cost of those invoices? I think that's the important thing we need to get to the bottom of. The Sanity Dignity Campaign, they noted a target achieved at submission of a cabinet memo. And bear in mind that with the ACP, the framework won't be, the actual target will be the delivery of a draft framework. So again, it's the beginning to ask, how do we note the cabinet member submission as a target achieved, as opposed to actually providing cabinet with a draft framework? If we move over to page 5, in terms of the work around the 9-point plan, an analysis of COVID on economic empowerment of women, they indicated that we're going to look at the top 100 JSC listed companies in terms of women. Again, bearing in mind, I've noted that Grant Thornton has done a survey on that, Business Women's Association, even Statistics South Africa. So again, to ask, well, there's a pool of data and research reports available, what are you doing that's different? Or how are you augmenting, what are you finding that's going to be add more value or something different? With the GLAS inclusion framework, as checked, in Q4 of 2016-17, they noted then that the target wasn't met, they still need to have internal discussions, and they were going to stop. Where we at now, those reasons still remain. They still need to consult. They still haven't concluded. So again, 6 months into the year, what's been the actual progress and achievement? What's the evidence to show? Because the issue of we need more consultation is something that's been carrying on in the previous financial year. If we move over to page 6, in terms of the gender responsive budgeting framework, it's similar. They say they still need to consult on it, but these have been concerns which were raised in the previous financial year. So I've checked on the 24th of October 2016, the Q2 report for the previous financial year, the draft GRD framework consulted to the stakeholders, two internal consultation meetings were conducted, and the submission draft concept paper is presently receiving BGM attention with external consultations with Treasury, DPME, and staff excellence will be held on the 11th of November 2016. So a year later, they kind of saw indications to us that they need to engage and consult with those key stakeholders. I've looked at the business case, and I even looked at the inclusion framework. Just to go back, with that financial inclusion framework, it's just a literature review. There's lots of information put together, but there's no coherence, there's no understanding of the ethical framework to say, well, at the end of this paper, this is what we're proposing. Similarly, with the GRD framework, there's lots of literature that they put down, reference, all sorts of sources, nationally and internationally. But our interest is they make reference to National Treasury 7-point GRD toolkit. So if Treasury has a GRD toolkit, what is it that we're working on? And what is it that we're doing that's going to be similar, different, or augment? And if you're consulting with Treasury, what you're consulting about is they really have a GRD toolkit. If we move over to page 7, again with the framework for GST, in Q2 of 2016-17, that indicated that the discussion document on strategy for gender mainstreaming and gender focus on consultant stakeholders, the target is work in progress, national dialogue will enrich the government-wide strategy on gender mainstreaming and gender focus on. So again, they're indicating that they need to have more consultations in order to conclude the target. But it's something that keeps perpetuating. Why is this? And again, it's off. Show us the tangible evidence in terms of progress. And then just as we conclude on page 8, the Mpumalanga report on the national dialogue is still yet to be finalized. Again, it's asked, why does it take so long to finalize a report? Who's responsible for that? What's the delay? that they don't provide us with extra information. Another key thing to note is in Program 3 around women's economic empowerment and government economic incentive schemes, they were saying signing service level agreements. In other words, they were getting in a consultant to do some work. Now, previously they told us that we're going to get a consultant for that M&E framework. Now, and they reassured us that no, that was it. But again, this is a new SRA around economic incentives. So the question would be that I think needs clarity. And what does the research entail? And why are we still getting consultants when we're so cash strapped? I think around the public outreach initiative, we commend them for doing it. They indicate to us what they were. But I think the most important thing for the committee is what is the cost incurred for each initiative? How many people benefit? What are the outcomes? What's the follow-up? Well, the international engagement, just to remind members, when we had the CGE with us for their Q2 report, they indicated they did that AGDI report. But they didn't present it. The department that decided that SA should be led. So again, it's just to gain clarity from the department as to why they would recommend the Statistics of Africa to present on the report that was actually developed by the CGE. And again, with the 9-point plan, they say the target wasn't achieved because they don't have the disaggregated data wasn't available. But what's the disaggregated data? And then just one key thing I'd like to refer members to around the VRR action plan. That's the document they sent to us. If we go to 8.3.1,
I think that we have a number of questions to ask the department, and I think that we've been given an outline by our assistant, and we've had these documents circulated to us. I understand that the department needs to present, but can we limit their time? Because it is 20 to 11 currently. So perhaps if we give them 20 minutes to present their key things, because what we're going to find is that they're going to read every word page by page, and then at 12:15 we'll have 15 minutes left to ask questions. May I ask that you impose a couple for them, please, Madam Chair, so that we can give them the attention they deserve.
Lavendel, if we just go to Chris, if we just look at Crystal's first page and my first page. So my first page shows you in summary that 27 targets that they had to do. 27 for Q2. In Q1 they needed to do 32. So in Q2 they needed to do less work. But in terms of their performance, even though on paper it says achieve 41% in Q1, achieve 41% in Q2. But in terms of the core program, if you look at Q2 and the second program, only achieved one target, 17%. And then Chris will talk about finances and the performance.
In terms of when you look at the finances, so, you know, at this point, usually you expect the department to have spent 50% of its budget, which means they're not overspending. So, the indications are that they're not overspending, they're underspending, which is fine. It looks good on paper. But then when you look at where money was spent and where it wasn't spent, then it becomes a bit concerning. Like Ash was saying, in program 2, for the year, you'd expect that for all the programs at this point, we are looking at 50% or so of the allocation being spent off over the financial year. For program 2, you've only spent 26% of your program budget for the year. You're only spending 26% of the six months through the financial year. So that's concerning. It's something it looks good on paper in terms of they're not overspending at this point midway through the financial year. But when you look at where the money is being spent, it becomes a bit concerning because the money is not being spent on your core programs and where your core deliverables are. Your administration program is where your money is being spent. But in program 2 and 3, where you're supposed to be developing these tools, providing these frameworks, and all these guidelines, the money is not being spent in those two programs. So at this point, I think it's a bit of a big concern in some of the financial performance. And then also if you look at the amount of targets being rolled over, what's going to happen by the end of the financial year, like I was saying, there's 6 weeks left. So you've cut 7 targets from quarter 1, now all of from quarter 2. I'm assuming it will be the same in quarter 3. Then what implications are that in terms of the finances also? In the last minute, how is all that money going to, or all those targets going to be met with the amount of money that's left? Another question.
Okay, thank you very much for everyone. For my last question, Jefferson, this has been confirmed for the members of the portfolio committee, the issue of the CFO, and now the new code that has been developed, which is for the director and deputy director of young women. Even though we know that young women should also be taken up of, but there's no other report that is yet found from the department around the issue of the CFO, whether the same report they tell us, whether the CFO has been, the post of the CFO has been filled or whatever.
The thing, I'm just checking, they actually indicated to us that there was a con somebody or a PD. I'm just trying to find exactly where they indicated that in terms of the CFO. I know the person came from Housing Department, I think, if I'm not mistaken. But let me find it for you, and then it was in one of the documents. I'll highlight.
Okay, thank you. Maybe we will ask this question to them. Yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah. Good morning, honorable members, and thank you for the opportunity to come here and present the Q2 performance report of the Department of Women. My name is Clarence Chitereke. I'm the Acting Director General of the Department, and I have brought with me the full complement of the executive management of the Department. I have Mrs. Shoki Chalalala. She's the Deputy Director General responsible for Branch 2. I have Ms. Annette Crusoe. She is the Deputy Director General responsible for Branch 3. I have Ms. Desiree Dikwale. Maybe you can raise your hand. She is the Chief Financial Officer. She started with us on the 16th of January this year. We have Mrs. Val Matodena. She's the Chief Director for Strategic Management. We have Mr. Bazi Mashiviti. He's the Chief Director for Corporate Management. And of course, Mr. Danisile Bamba, who is our director for parliamentary liaison. The director responsible for parliament and cabinet. My apologies, I think I was trying to simplify. Now the reason, actually, everyone in this delegation will make a contribution to the presentation. The reason we have such a large delegation of members is to introduce, I guess for the first time, the complete staff complement of executive management. Now, the quarter two review, it happened when three of the executives were not with the department. So Q2 would have run from July, August, and September. Now, with full staff complement, I so wish that we were sitting here today to present Q3 performance, because you will then be able to see improved performance of the department based on the additional staff complement that we were able to hire in the third quarter of this financial year.
I'll just make you be aware that we might have sort of this mark about what other textbooks and other professionals. I'm not going to have.
In the interest of time, Honorable Chair, I would suggest that perhaps we focus more on the program performance. So, with the concurrence of the Chair, I can skip the strategic focus of the Department of Women. I think we are all aware of it, except to say that there are some programs that we are running which may be of interest to members, and it would be ideal if we were to get an opportunity to come back and at least brief the honorable members on the work that we are doing, specifically in relation to the sanitary dignity project. I think it is of interest to members. We have done some work and we are continuing our work in that space. Some work relating to gender responsive budgeting. There is some progress there, and it would be good if we get an opportunity to brief the honorable members. And of course, the violence against women and children nationally, there are disturbing developments there, but there is some work that we are doing as the Department of Women. And the last one would be the work that we're currently doing on gender focal points. We stand ready to respond to any request to brief the honorable members on any of those four items. And on that note, I think rather than get straight to program performance for Q2, I'll then hand over to Ms. Matabela.
Thank you, Acting CG. Good morning, the Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members of the Committee. I'm going to present a quarter two performance of the Department of Women. The Department in quarter two, it has 27 targets, and 11 of those targets were achieved, while 15 were not achieved. On percentage, we achieved 41% against 59% not achieved. We have included a slide prior to that where we compared performance of quarter 1 and quarter 2. There is a slight improvement on the performance of the department when we look at how we did in the next quarter, quarter 3. However, where we are right now, when we look at percentages, it looks like we have not made a significant improvement. The colleagues are going to look at the key achievements and then also clarify the non-achieved and provide a reason for deviations in their respective area. So I want to expand on that. The budget, the CFO is going to take care of the budget. But in program one, we had a target which were 13 plans, and 7 of those targets were achieved, while 6 were not achieved. The ones that were not achieved are 50% of internal audit projects, annual plan completed. The department continues to experience capacity challenges when it comes to staff complement in the internal audit. Even though it has improved, the specialist in this area is a director and a district director, and in most cases, their project falls behind and they are carried over from one quarter to another. However, this matter was thoroughly discussed at the audit and risk committee, and there are interim measures that are being put in place to ensure that they achieve their annual target. The next target that has not achieved is also under internal audit. This one relates to the findings of the AG. The department manages an audit action plan on the matters of emphasis raised by the AG, and what the percentage that we have set was that 95% of those recommendations which were made by the AG must be implemented per quarter. We were at 43% as verified by our internal audit. As a result, there is a follow-up audit that was made in quarter 3 which improved this percentage. However, the target remains not achieved because we could not achieve the 95% that we had set for ourselves as a department. This is one of the targets. When you look at the 18-19 ATP, it's going to be improved in terms of how we put it in the ATP, because 95% has been very ambitious to be achieved from quarter 1 up to quarter 4. We should have planned it in such a way that the percentage increases per quarter in order for us to be able to achieve this target. You will also see this target appears under financial management. It is the same reason where only 69% of the findings were implemented. But the difference, I want to explain the difference between the percentages. After finance has managed the audit action plan, internal audit has to verify the 69%. And when they did the verification in line with the evidence provided, they agreed theirs was at 43%. So this is one area that the department is really focusing its energy to improve, to make sure that we achieve the annual target of 95% of those findings should be implemented of the recommendations of the AG. The target on 100% payment of all the invoices paid within 30 days was not achieved due to the fact that 99.58% of the invoices which were valid were paid instead of 100%. However, I'm glad to report that when you look at our quarter 3 performance, this is one of the targets that we have improved on and we have achieved in the future quarter that we will come back to brief the committee. And we were also we also had a target to maintain a less than 2% understanding against the spending plan. And this the description of the progress made was that we spent 47% understanding
therefore the actual projection versus the actual expenditure was 2% instead of 2%. So this is also one of the areas that the CFO is focusing on to improve our spending per quarter. The next target is one of 100% of all disciplinary cases resolved within 90 days. We still have one case, a disciplinary case that is still running, and the reason for this waiting was due to delay attributed to numerous postponements and adherence to the disciplinary hearing processes, which when Mr. Shidisi does his presentation, we will further elaborate on the later data core of the target. I'm going to then hand over to DDG Saralala to present a project.
Thank you, Professor, and good morning to the members. I'll try to be as brief as possible. Out of the six targets that were planned in that quarter under review, one target was achieved, and that was in respect of the policy framework for sanitary dignity. DG has already indicated that we would appeal to appear at some point and take you through work done already and plans ahead, your short-term, medium-term, and your long-term plans. But in a nutshell, yes, we've achieved and we've tabled cabinet memo with a great deal of work that we are still working on. On areas that have not yet been achieved, substantial amount of work has been done. In this case, it pertains to the analysis report, both on the one, the progress on the impact of women empowerment on the 9-point plan component, the financial inclusion one, and on both of them, the analysis report has been submitted and they are still in the process of being approved. But on the gender focus point one, a drafted memo has been crafted. There has been discussion at a very high level, at DG to DG level, and now it awaits finalization at the level of both ministers, noting that DPSA is the employer and all issues that are arising from that cabinet memo will have to be implemented on their part in terms of responsibility, location, accountabilities and competences. On the gender responsive budgeting one, it's an area where the business case has already been concluded in terms of the work that we have done. We are working very closely with Treasury, DPME, but we've now moved to a step of working on the concept document itself, elaborating at length how the entire budget, gender budgeting, in fact commencing with gender planning, which will then inform gender budgeting should unfold, and it will not take the approach of a pilot. It's something that will have to be cross-cutting across all the government departments. The next one, which pertains to the interventions around the elimination of gender-based violence against women and children, where we are indicating that an analysis report is being finalized. In this instance, at that point, we were looking at analysis report on the Mpumalanga dialogue, which have now, if we were to be reporting on work done to date, which has now been consolidated to all dialogues conducted to date, so that there is a preliminary report pertaining to all of them that have already been conducted and not focusing purely on the Mpumalanga area. That is in a nutshell the problem.
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members. I will just take us through Programme 3. Overall, there were 8 targets, 3 of which were achieved and 5 were not achieved. The ones that were not achieved relate to, firstly, the report on progress on women's empowerment in the Economic Chapter Department. So, work was done in relation to the appointment of a service provider specifically to research the impact of the DTI incentive scheme. So that the appointment was made in August, and but obviously the target of actually consulting with women beneficiaries has not yet been done by quarter two. Because once the service provider was appointed, they still had to do the inception report, develop the research methodology, etc., etc. So the target could not be achieved by quarter two, but important progress has been made in quarter three and going into the current quarter. The next one that was not achieved was around gender communication. A draft report was done, but has not been finalized, and there was also an area of appointment. Achievements were made around public participation, outreach activities, as well as the activities around no violence against women and children. And also, important targets was achieved in relation to the international engagement in multilateral forums, in particular in SADC. Where we did not achieve was in relation to the actual development of a report on the implementation of government commitments in performance of international obligations. And that remains a tricky area, that we are currently working on an intervention plan, turnaround plan, in fact, because we've been having difficulties. These are reports both at the SADC AU level, and one of the big difficulties we are having is around receiving adequate information from the departments that are supposed to contribute to those reports. But in this specific case also, there were delays in the finalization by the SADC Secretariat of the monitoring framework, which has subsequently been developed. Also not achieved are the monitoring reports in relation to the 9-point plan, as well as in relation to outcome 14. In both those cases, in the case of the NEF and the IDP, draft reports were developed that were found to be of insufficient quality to be regarded as adequate in fulfillment of the ATP target. In terms of outcome 14, the DAC annual report was analysed, but was also found to be inadequate. And the whole area of MME has been an area of significant underperformance in quarter two. There was consequence management also in that area, and we believe that it is starting to improve. Thank you.
Morning, Chair and honorable members, presenting the human resource methods for quarter two. The vacancy rate at quarter two was sitting at 2.8%, and we had 300 vacant positions. Each positions were DDG, PSDKM, which indicated we filled in quarter three, and indeed was filled in quarter three. The chief financial officer indicated would be filled in quarter four, and indeed it has been filled in quarter four, and the VD risk management also filled in quarter three. We didn't experience any challenges, safe to say, the delay in security clearance. A number of resignations at that level, it was the DDG, PSDKM, but immediately we filled the position in the subsequent quarter, which is quarter three. And the reasons for resignation is just a normal resignation. A number of suspension is one, and the nature and duration of suspension, the nature is the dereliction of duty and gross negligence, and there's been that suspension was from 5 September 2016. And when are we anticipating to resolve the matter? The matter from our side was presented fine and the employee. The only thing that is just what one witness that is remaining and is scheduled for this Friday on the 16th, and then the case should have been wrapped up waiting for the sanction from the chairperson. And thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, and Moise. In terms of the expenditure of the department spent 47% of the adjusted budget of 26,163,000. And we also realized an underspending of 6.5 million against the projected budget for the quarter under review. Program 1 spent 48% of the allocated budget. I won't go through the percentage spent, the program, because of a health concern. Program 2 spent 46% of the allocated budget. And lastly, Program 3 spent 46% of the allocated budget. In terms of the economy classification, on compensation of employee, the department spent 50% of the allocated budget, and the variance is 89,000. On goods and services, 38% spent, transfers and subsidies 60%, and last payment for capital assets, expenditure is 30%. In terms of the reason for the variance on expenditure, on compensation of employee, the overspending of 89,000 against the budget is due to contracts that were employed within the department, and this contract ended in December and were not renewed. On transfers and subsidies, the adjusted budget in this category of expenditure is 38.4 million, with actual expenditure of 39.4 million. And the overspending of 261,000 is mainly due to payment of leave gratuities that relates to outstanding leave days for officials who resigned from the department. And the overspending will then be addressed during the hiring process after the end of the mission. On goods and services, that is the budget is 62.2 million. With actual expenditure of 19.9 million and underspending of 4.4 million against the projected expenditure is due to an increase for office accommodation amounting to 911,000 for the month of September that was received on the 10th of October. And the payment was subsequently made during the month of October. Also, the department projected to implement the sanitary dignity in Daba, gender responsive sensitive symposium and consultation of GBV against women and sexual offenders with other departments, which forms part of the dialogue that was initially planned to be implemented in quarter one, but we're now scheduled to quarter three. Under capital expenditure, the adjusted budget on payments for capital assets is 3.8 million. The actual expenditure for the quarter under review is 1.1 million. And the underspending against the projections is 2.5 million. And this is mainly due to an application for purchase of a vehicle that was submitted to the SDM. And this is mainly due to the National Treasury Transfer Contract, a contract which was finalized. The backup management software, the regulation acquisition of the implementation of configuration services of data and information backup management software, which amounts to 486,000. I will move to slide number 39 that then talks to the revenue for the department. The department collected an amount of 15,000 the second of quarter two. The revenue mainly generated from insurance and damage collections on behalf of the party, and the sale of waste paper. There's no reported witness and expenditure for the quarter under review, and also
for irregular expenditure, there were 15 transactions that were identified to be irregular, and this transaction were reported and they amounted to 2.2 million. There were 3 deviations that were reported under the quarter under review amounting to 327,000 following from the normal supply chain and procedures, and these deviations were below 500 and in terms of the regulation they were approved by the DG. On instruction note 34 that requires the department to pay its service providers within 30-day period. For the quarter under review, the department achieved 100% for the month of July and September, and for the month of August, we achieved 99% compliance. And the reason for non-compliance in the month of August is mainly to one invoice relating to the Department of Public Works for the lease payment from 2011 to 2014. That was not paid to the department. The matter has been discussed and the payment plan will be drafted to settle the amount over the 3 financial years. One invoice relates to 2016 to 2017 for procurement of bottled water during the Limpopo dialogue. Delivery of goods has not been certified yet by the relevant agencies in the department. Thank you, sir.
Just wanted to alert the committee that it included slides on progress in finalizing outstanding charges for quarter one, which we have updated up to some who have been turned up to the end of quarter two. I think these are self-explanatory, Chairperson, so I'll take it to the committee members that already listened. But content information me.
Towel. I didn't know that we talked. basikodwa phansi lingenzeki. Yabona lasa ngifuna ukwazi kukhona nabantu abahlala emakhaya. Nithini ngabo? Nake nayakubona basithola lokhu sizwe uma besithola ikuphi nendawo engakusho ukuthi ikhona. Bese kuthi bafanana nalayibhedlele ukuthi kuqale ibhedlele bekutholakala le nto kuthiwa ma-sanitary towel uma ngabe uyobeletha nasemakliniki. Lezo zinto namanje kenzile. 2014 ngenile kulo mnyango wenu sila ngikuboni kwenzeka. Kanjalo namanapukeni khona umuntu la uthola ukuthi unomntwana ukhulela ingane mayifika ivele iyiqathakele nje ngoba isithosi kankulunkulu ngizawunompeko kanjani. Sacacela ukuthi lapho ezibhedlela akube nama-sanitary towel bawathole omama. Nalento yeyingane ama-pampers babe nabo abantwana asikuboni kwenzeka konke lokho. Sengiyogcina sihlalo wami. Khona la nemvenza khona angazoma u-DG uzomxelela othandana namhlophe asini ukuthi sifushe abantu phansi. Khona la ukhuluma khona ngama-case noma ngamacala funeka phela uma usibikela anithi uyasibikela wena ukuthi kunamacala bekhona unabo ukuthi kube necala elithize bekwenzeni sagcina kunjena sihambisane. Ungawusukela uzositshela ukuthi kube namacala ahlobe azokhoza kanjalo nanangomunye uyaphila na uzosuka uzoshona into naye. Hhayi khona-ke kube ne-disciplinary hearing kwaenesitsheleni ukuthi bekwenzeka kanjani wabiza umuntu kwagcinani ukuze phela sihambisane. Lo mnyango into eyazi iyodwa u-16 days ninominista wenu nina nihluleka nawe uminista wenu nenze nikhohlise kunezinto engakhala ngazo la ngifika zabantu abasahlukunyezwa. Uma ngabe niyakubona ikhali yokudlwengulwa iyahaya phezulu uma niyakubona indlela abantu besifazane abathathwa ngazo idayiso beya-out kuya mo mina nganitshela nje ngadlali ngani yabona umnyango lo wona mnyango ohluleka kunayo yonke iminyango. And ngempela ngempela khona phela ngoba ngasikwazi ikhethe akhanisele ukuthi angifuni ukuhlala kulo mnyango but lo mnyango uyakuphatha kangoba thina phela abantu basila liyeke le gama lika-honorable. Gama lika-honorable limbi ngoba sigcine lenza ukuthi thina sigcina sesiyibona sibakhulu thina nabantu phansi. Uma ngithi hambe yobuka abantu besifazane ngisho izinto abahlala kuzona ungakhala kodwa nibe nikhona asikubona ukuthi yini eniyenzayo ukukhipha labantu bakithi besifazane abaqhele kanzima. Ngiyabonga ngisazobuya kumina.
Thank you, Chapter 3. I'm highly impressed by such a good presentation. According to me, the money should have been allocated to CGE because CGE has an impact. They are already being realized. The CGE shouldn't have been in the headlines recently, especially in the media, where a woman was able to fight for other women, not this lip service that we usually hear from you. And this department has failed women. I say this because there is nothing visible in terms of development of the women. This department does nothing for women, whether they are educated or not. Coming to sanitary towels, do you ever consider children or girls in the rural area? If so, where did you apply this? Where did you go? Which area did you go and help with there? Likewise, we also spoke about hospitals and clinics that they should also be included in this program when considering the issue of the disposable napkins because they also need such assistance. Somehow we speak about some cases. What are these cases about? Who are involved in these cases? What have they done? Because you have hinted about them. Will you please tell us more about these cases? This department only deals with 15 days of activism. People are being trafficked every day. this department is failing us all. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. Welcome, DG, even though you are acting, and congratulations again. I hope that you as a team take what I'm going to say from where it comes. It comes from a good place, but I'm going to be tough. So don't take it personally, but this department needs to catch a wake-up. We have repeatedly, since this department was established, it has done nothing. This department cannot say it has achieved one thing of consequence to women in this country. We have repeatedly raised the issue of consultants and outsourcing. I have zero sympathy about your staff complement challenges. When you are creating positions or have a position of director of parliament and cabinet liaison, this is not directed at you as a person, sir, but I'm sure you could be utilized in any position. I'm sure you are very competent, but you choose someone to talk to parliament over internal audit, which you know is an issue for your department. I cannot understand. And you've reviewed your organogram at least once or twice in the last 2 years. What is that exercise for, if not to streamline the department and make it competent and deliver to our women? Consequence management, thank you very much for the disciplinary report on that one issue. There were other issues that we need a report on. There were specifically issues relating to irregular expenditure, and we need to know in terms of what was covered in the AG's report, where have they been charged? Has the disciplinary process been completed? And what was the outcome? Were they fired? Did they resign? Or did they get a written warning? Chair, through you, I want to ask this department, before you appear before this committee next time, to submit to Nelisua your current organogram, a job description for every position, the salary grade for every position. So we want to know who is employed where and who is receiving how much money, that this department has done nothing. Secondly, on program 2, one target achieved and probably the most important program, your core business, social transformation, economic empowerment of women. One target, 4.2 million rand spent. The product, a memo to cabinet. In our BRRR report, there were a number of recommendations and requests and instructions that this committee provided you. Monthly reports, copies of the various policy documents and things like that that you have established. We have received nothing to date. Nothing. Not a single monthly report. I don't know whether this department takes this for a joke, because every year you appear before this committee, every year there are the same challenges. No things are being finalized. No things are in progress. No is submitted for approval. No, it's coming. We are going to do. But you've done nothing. And again, this is not a personal issue.
But your department, the Department of Women in the Presidency, is nothing but an employment agency.
It's an employment agency. It's people taking salaries home every month while our women, the most vulnerable, suffer. And you can talk about GBV, and you can talk about gender social points, and you can talk about gender responsive budgeting, where the business case was created by Grant Thornton and the Treasury and StatsSA, not you guys. The CGE gets less budget than your department and do more. These dialogues. Of the 4.2 million rand spent to achieve one target, how much did those dialogues cost? And I want that figure now today. Someone must know. Someone here. How much to date have the dialogues cost? And what product have you got from that? And I don't want to hear about a business case or a don't. Yes, I want to know. I don't want to know about memos. And again, through you, Chair, to reiterate the request of this committee, whatever format your memo, your draft, your concept, your whatever document, everything that we have asked for, as it stands today, send it to us today. Not tomorrow, so that you can spend tonight, or whoever you've got to spend tonight, pretending that something appears in the next 12 hours. Go back to the BRRR recommendations. Go back and see where your shortcomings are. Every single, your gender focal points, your gender responsive budgeting, your sanitary dignity, whatever, if it's one line on a piece of paper, submit it to NELISA by close of business today. Because I think we will see what really happened, the tangible evidence of what is really happening in this department. On another note, you submitted the department, submitted an erratum to Parliament, and in that erratum, so-called, the actual performance target for the sanitary dignity project will change. That is a revision. That is not an erratum. That wasn't a mistake. That's not just like I was supposed to say 4.2 million on a memo to cabinet, in, you know, and you changed the wording, or that wasn't quite right. The targets were changed. That is not an error. That is a revision. That is a deliberate change. And erratums don't need to be put through Parliament. They don't need to come before us. They can just slip and just don't need to be seen by anybody. And for the past 2-3 years, this department has changed their APP twice. When I joined this committee last year, was it last year, Mum? Last year, January. I said to you guys, do you even know what you are doing? Do you know where you want to go? Do you know why you want to go there? And do you know how you are going to get there? So you... welcome, but you've got a tough thing to come into a situation that is. But this committee will not accept excuses about staff confidence. You have over 100 staff. What are they doing? If someone is sitting in a chair and not being constructive, empower them. allowing the freedom and the space to do more challenging work contributes to the various programs that we're supposed to be doing. I've heard from my colleagues that this is the problem every year, again and again and again. And I'm asking you, don't take this committee for a joke. We have a job to do. And writing recommendations that are approved every year and the department completely ignores it shows complete disregard for the woman of South Africa, because they elected us to sit here, and it is our role to provide oversight over the executive, over the department that is supposed to implement the change, or even not weave the basket, but source the grass, source the labour, and guide on the pattern for weaving, because you guys say you're not implementing, that's fine. You are letting women down in the most dreadful way, because you're spending 83 million rand of your 206 minus the 75 odd for CGE on salaries and travel and admin, 4.2 on social transformation and economic empowerment. A woman is going to be in an abusive situation so long as she is not empowered. The consequences of your lack of performance, the department's complete incompetence, is the woman in the street, that woman who is being beaten, raped, murdered, starving, unemployed. So I'm asking, catch a wake-up and don't take this committee for a joke. The things that we requested, the organogram, job description, salary grade, per position. Don't need to know names. This is not about who. What positions have you got? What are those positions doing and how much are you paying them? Why? The disciplinary procedure, thank you very much for that update, sir, but there are a number of outstanding issues. Kindly, please, give us an update. And do you have performance management contracts in place? If not, that is your first problem, because non-performing people are going to continue non-performance. And then with regards to all of those policies, as requested by this committee, submit by close of business today, whatever form that document, that memo, that concept, that framework is in, that needs to be submitted to Minister. You're in quarter three, 9 months down the line, and you've done nothing. I believe you that this quarter three is going to be a lot better, and I look forward to that, and I can't wait to congratulate you. Don't take them for a joke.
Thank you.
what is the purpose of creating new codes in program 3, especially the director and deputy director of young women, and may you elaborate, or as the department has limited resources, can you elaborate where are these directors will be allocated and what are their key focus in the department? And number three is on the issue of gender focus points. It has been reported that there are three consultations that are required before submitted to the cabinet for approval. And it also appears that the key reason for this target for not being met from the quarter to quarter is that more consultations are needed. So why is this taking so long? And what progress has been made on this issue of the general focus point? On the issue of national dialogue, I would like to ask why is the report delayed and not being finalized? And also on the issue of irregular expenditure, it has been said that there has been irregular expenditure amounting of 2.2 million in quarter 2, in quarter 1 was only amounting of 432,000. Can you provide details on why this amount has escalated to 2.2 million? And the last question is that the department only spent 26% of its budget for program 2. I think this is concerning this portfolio committee, because we know that this program is responsible for the facilitation and promotion of social economic empowerment and gender equality through the provision of intervention mechanisms. Can you tell us why is this program 2 spending only this amount of only 26%? Thank you very much, Chair.
Ngiyabonga uhlelo. Lena u-page 46. Khona la kuvela khona ukuthi kunemoto okufanele ithengwe noma ezothengwa. Kodwa basichazele le moto ukuthi ithengwe kwabani, yini kufanele ithengwe. Kona ngingaqiniso lapho ukuthi ke besicacisele bengasihlokolozi esiwayo. Ngiyabonga.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, on page 46, supplement information. Chairperson, somewhere on page 46. States that there is a request to purchase a motor vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
Now, may they explain for us as to why do they want to purchase this car and for who and for what purpose? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Honourable Member. We will attend to the questions. There are some that I can attend to, and the rest of the questions will be attended to by my colleague. On consequent management and irregular expenditure that have been reported, we have started that process, and I am happy to report that we have also met with the Audit and Risk Committee this Saturday, this past Saturday, And we are going to meet again next week, Thursday, with the Audit and Risk Committee to specifically attend to this matter. We already identified the legal partner that will assist us in processing those cases. So I will say that by the time this month ends, which is in the next 2 weeks, in the next 2 weeks from today, we will process the paperwork to the relevant colleagues, and thereafter the process will have started. So without giving too much details on that, I think the general advice is that we will start this process, or this process is started. I'll be glad to come back to share with the members the details of that process. I think the rest of the questions the colleagues can take them since they are relevant to their portfolios.
Thank you, Chairperson, and to the members. I understand where members are coming from. And I would like to provide an explanation which I hope Chairperson will resonate well with members at this point. The issue of sanitary towers and whether women and girls in rural areas and all of that are getting those. While noting that we are not an implementing department, the reality is there are pockets of excellence in some of the provinces in terms of this area as well. The cabinet memo that we have tabled, we have been directed to go and strengthen that area of work where the pockets of poverty, in particular KZN, Eastern Cape, as well as Mpumalanga. There is work that is currently happening in those provinces. And it has gone beyond just providing those sanitary tests, but to even producing the very sanitary tests. And women are at the epicenter of the production value chain. Now, I would like to indicate that as we consolidate this work, we cannot go back to cabinet without a proper situational analysis of what exactly is happening on the ground, which we are about to conclude, what the cost implication is, and what the value chain is going to be. And when you look at it, members, you can see clearly that it will commence from the production side to issues of everything else that you can imagine. But at this point in time, when we have that opportunity, we will take you through the detailed work done today. But I wish to indicate that the provinces are hard at work where they've already worked. Housing already is already doing some work around the provision, targeting the quintile schools on the provision of sanitary dignity care. The issue of gender-based violence, I wish to indicate that on the gender-based violence, may I indicate that our approach on the ground does add value, and I will indicate why I am saying that. It's got a three-pronged approach. It has an awareness element. The manner in which the program is designed is such that all the relevant key stakeholders will come on board
and address women on issues pertaining to their homelessness, be it the police, be it CGE, be it the departments themselves and all of that. It also has another leg, which is now the actual engagement with the women themselves and the children, raising issues, telling us where the gaps are. But what I like about this process, as Chairperson and members, is that it's bottom up. It's not us informing women on what should happen. It's women who are actually saying, we are in this area. This is how it impacts on us in terms of the physical space. This is how it impacts on us in terms of services available on the ground. And this is what we want to see happening. Therefore, the kind of report that is now emerging is a report that is a true reflection of what is happening on the ground, but a report that is also informing programming and whether it's going to be a policy issue or what, that it emerges from the bottom to us. Gone are the days when we sit in offices, we come up with policies based on perceived feelings and perceptions and not based on fair needs on the ground. The last part of the dialogue is also the third leg of it, is that it has a psychosocial component. Even when they talk to us, some of them they break down, some of them they want to talk more, there are social workers at the sport, there are people from legal services, your legal aid and all, we channel them appropriately and all of that. So we don't leave them unattended. There is follow through with the relevant departments that are following. The report will be coming. I want to be realistic and say by quarter four, we will give a report on all the dialogues conducted today, but the issues are almost transversal, for lack of a better way. You get a sense of what are the common issues that are reflecting in all those communities and what is it that issues, the perceived nature or posture that you should be taking as government. On the issue of whether the money should go to CGE or the department and that we are seemingly not doing enough, I wish to indicate Mama Kaula Umuntu. The reason why we go the gender planning and budgeting route is precisely because we want a situation where we come up with gender indicators per department, and those high-level gender indicators are going to address the issue pertaining that particular department. For argument's sake, I'll make a simple example. If you are water and sanitation, you know what are the gender issues for women and girls who are entertaining to water, sanitary dignity being one of them. Therefore, those high-level indicators, when they emerge as we embark on this process, we will then play in our role through the relevant unit, DPNE, beginning to monitor that which departments are supposed to do, which will then yield the desired results in terms of the work that they are supposed to be doing for women. So it is a process-oriented, and may I kindly appeal that let's embark on this process until everything is completed, until there's a proper framework which informs government planning and budgeting completely. I think I'm covered on a number of issues. Remember, I've tried to provide written from point 47 around the cost of understanding, which was related to the vacancies as well as the endeavors that we said that we held during quarter three. And those discussions on gender issues will be held, and I think the issues of spending will improve. I've attempted to respond to some of the issues. If there's anything that I've left out, I am more than willing to be reminded and I will refer to it. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I'm sorry, I also have to leave for another meeting. I would just like to wish you all leave, especially on the sanitary dignity program. If you don't wait until 44, I would like to progress because this is the first time I've ever heard anything that's actually been done. And it's encouraging. And I think this is part of the problem we've got. We've got stuff that comes to us at the end. It's pure statistics, and we don't really know if you are getting onto the ground. Whereas through CGE, as we've had before, we know what they do. We're not sure what you are doing. Thank you. May I ask the gentleman there, is he part of this committee?
It's
if I may come on that gentleman. He's a colleague. He worked for the Department of Traditional and Local Government. We partnered with them in the development of the sanitary dignity equality framework. So he is the one who took, together with other colleagues, who took that policy proposal to cabinet. But he may introduce it.
Well, I'd be happy to hear something to review again, Chair, but he's come in here, he's been laughing, smiling and talking to everyone, and he's been distracting you, and I have found him extremely distracting as well. Thank you.
Through the Chair, may I request that we perhaps get an opportunity to brief the Honourable Member on those specific items such as the sanitary dignity program, and equally the national dialogues. What I could add is that in provinces such as Mpumalanga and the Northern Cape, where we've already wrapped up the dialogue program, those provinces are writing to us to go back to brief them on the findings. We have shared the report with them. And the purpose of their request is for them to internalize those findings in their own budgetary process. So they want to respond directly to the findings of those respective reports. But I'm thinking, or I have a feeling, that we could actually present a more comprehensive report if we could get a schedule. We could actually do two suggestions. It could be sanitary dignity and gender equality budgeting, or national dialogues and the issue of gender for reform. Thank
Chairperson, thank you for the question and comments. I just want to respond to the question around the purpose of the new posting program 3, especially in relation to young women. I think we're all quite aware that young women are at the bottom of the pile, so to speak, when it comes to women in general. Young women are, in fact, the face of poverty is young, black, and probably rural, but not only rural. Because we know in the informal settlements and even in our inner cities, we have young black women who are poverty stricken. So, and also when you look at unemployment figures and all of that, young women are the most affected. So, and if you look at government, there are various programs that are aimed at addressing that, whether it be, through the education system, social welfare, the child support grants, and so on and so on. But we found that, and in Gauteng, we found something like PEP or 1 billion, which is aimed at also getting women into the economy and so on and so on. But we find that those are fragmented. They're very fragmented, and each one is doing their own thing. Sometimes it's not a coherent response. So the idea is to develop a comprehensive strategy on young women. And I know that at this stage of our government cycle, we shouldn't really be looking at new policies. The idea is to implement. But we are saying, let us look at what the priorities are. Let us also look at the youth development strategy that was developed in the presidency 2015-2016 and examine whether it adequately is addressing the needs of young women and then to coordinate that. The idea is not, and it's a very small unit, so to be a director, a deputy director and an admin officer. So it's like three people. So the idea isn't to say that they are going to change the world in terms of implementing programs to address young women, but rather to provide strategic direction and coordination, because we see ourselves as a Department of Women as a centre of government department. That is why we are in the presidency. So our influence is around coordinating the work that is done by other departments and ensuring that their interventions are indeed effective and making a difference in terms of the impact on the lives of ordinary people. And that brings me to the other posts that are in program 3, which is evaluation. We often talk about M&E, which is very important. We have an entire department in M&E, a huge proportion of which is devoted to monitoring evaluation of government in general. But we often neglect the E, which is evaluation. So monitoring is more than routine collection of performance information in order to see are you meeting your targets, so the kind of work that we're even doing here on the ABC. But evaluation is a much more in-depth assessment based on scientific methods to assess the value or worth of a particular program, particularly government programs. And we find that in government in general, we always say there's a common refrain that says we will stop talking policy, we will implement. But you found that, and that's true on one level, we must accelerate implementation, but one finds that actually people are working very, very hard on a program. But because it's based on a poor theory, we call it theory of change, the logic is not correct. You can work as hard as you like, but you won't achieve the results that you want to achieve. So that's one of the purposes of evaluation. And again, it's two posts, a director of evaluation and a deputy director, that will start to also intervene in the national evaluation system of DPME to work on two levels. We have already discussed this with DPME. Firstly, the National Evaluation Plan that is adopted by Cabinet and is developed by all government departments, we must ensure that firstly when you undertake an evaluation, there should be gender-related questions within that. Secondly, we want to ensure that there are targeted evaluations to assess the impact of programs on women specifically. So evaluation is very critical, and again, and maybe we'll undertake one or two evaluations. So those are just, you know, two of the areas where we are expanding program three to give expression to the purpose for which that program is was established. Thank you.
Professor, I'd like to respond to the issue of the department having issued an election for the targets on genocide framework. We have tabled that APC in March 2017 so that campus actually can implement it. Now, during the implementation, we then took the draft framework on sanitary dignity to cabinet. And the plan was that it was going to be moving forward to quarter three as planned. However, the outcome of the presentation to cabinet committee was that further work should be done. Now, when you look at the framework for strategic planning and plans and annual performance plan, which is produced by National Treasury, which is now overseen by DPME, it requires that should there be a change strategically or so in the implementation of the annual performance plan, we need to come back and inform Parliament that we have issued an erratum. An erratum is not defined as you are correcting a mistake or an error in a plan. It's a tool that we use to amend and communicate the change in strategic direction. So it's a pity that the member that raised the question is not here, but what we will also do is just to refer her to that framework. We do have it accessible. We will send it when we send all other documents that are requested, which will be sent to the committee, so that we understand the process. So there's no way that we can just wake up and just look forward to this changing. In this process of issuing the erratum, we are supported by the Auditor General. They do appear before the committee, you can engage them further. This is actually when they conduct the interim audit for the work that we are currently doing. They will always ask us for proof that since there was this decision by a head committee, have you informed Parliament? So that when we come here in quarter three, because it's only the target for quarter three and quarter four which were affected, you will also be aware of what we are doing in quarter three and quarter four. So I just wanted to make that
clear. I think there was a question on page 46 about the motor vehicle. The vehicle is the bulky that we were buying. The bulky was to assist us most of, because most of the time when we go to dialogues and everywhere we're hiring bulky. So we, because then we thought there is a need for the bulky so that we take care of, you know, communication equipment, for instance, your banners and other related things. So it was a bulky that we bought. But we have to buy through the transversal contract, the National Treasure. The bike has since been bought in quarter three. The other thing was about the organizational structure that they requested information in terms of the organizational structure, the job grade and stuff like that. If my memory serves me well, last year the portfolio committee requested the very same information and organizational structure together with the fees for this. When I look in terms of my report where I know that I saw on the 29th of June that it went out of my office and stuff like that, but we can look at how, where it ended in the portfolio committee or not, but I know in terms of my records that information was not written. from us, unless if you want the updated information, but the information was submitted last year, in terms of my records. Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson, for the response. But to my last question, I would love to ask, given the fact that previously we have engaged with the department, because we know that its core mandate is to champion gender equality and achieve the socio-economic empowerment and rights of women. But it is concerning that since the inception of the department in 2014, it has not developed and implemented the framework. I'm talking here about the women's financial inclusion framework, gender responsive budgeting framework, as well as the gender focal point framework. So, but my question is, how are you going to provide this strategic leadership or the strategic leadership to other departments when you have unable to complete the framework as this department? Thank you, Chair.
Ngibonge Hlelo. Lami wami umbuzo nje uqondena ngisabuyela khona ku page 46 sengile ncwadi le. Okay, khona la invoice eveza khona ukuthi kunemali ekhokhele i-office eqasha i-office e-9-1-1000. Le mali ngokwami iyimiliyoni 1 million. Umbuzo wami uthi ngoba niyakwazi ukuthi niqashe ngale mali enkulu kangaka, ngabe le mali lena niyayibona sigcine ekugcineni sekuwu-12 million, ngabe anikwazi ukuthi ngigcine nizakhele nina eleni i-office na? Ngoba uma uyibheka le mali ekhokhela leli office inkulu kakhulu, ifuna lapho ngingazisele ukuthi ngabe le mali anakhile i-office noma ngabe anikwazi kwakha ngayo i-office na le mali lena eku-12 million ekugcineni uma siyibala unyaka wonke. Ngiyabonga.
Chairperson, thank you. I'd also like to go back to page 46, where it appears that there's an invoice of an amount of about 911,000 for the month of September, which is used to pay for office accommodation. Now, to me, this amount is plus minus a million. Now, what I would like to know is, if you can afford to pay such an amount a month, don't you see that you can afford to build your own office instead of paying such an exorbitant amount just for renting your office? To me, this amount per annum is plus minus 20 million. So can you explain to me that can't you afford to build your own office instead of renting? Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. Yeah, the money is 911,000 a month, which is a contractual obligation as a public work for the building that we are currently occupying. I think this matter has been discussed at length, if my memory serves me well, last year in March, or I can't still remember when it. It started in 2016 when it was discussed at length and the former CFO Treasury of Spain. Eventually we came back and explain it's a contract that Public Works has entered into, which is a 9-year and 11-month contract. It was done in 2010. We indicated that. And the contract is coming to an end in September 2020. We tried every avenue to come out of that contract, but we couldn't win. But however, moving forward, I think the suggestion from the Honorable Member to say we need to look in terms of building our own. We tried, those who are engaged Public Works, the space that we called closer to the UN building, initially Public Works was this year, but at the later stage they came back to say it's a heritage state. But however, they suggested another place that currently, I mean, which we have already started, which Public Works identified in consultation with us, which we have agreed the minister, which is a building occupied currently by the Department of Agriculture. So the process beyond September 2020 is in progress. So we're doing all the necessary arrangements to do that. Thanks.
Training women will save a lot of money.
Okay, thank you, Chair. This is part of the value chain that we are considering. What we have started doing is to identify those that are already having production sites in those communities, to visit them, look at where they get the material from. Is it the material that is in the importing, or is it material that is from our own country, and all of that. But the training issue is endorsed, it's supported, it's something that we think it can be taken beyond what is currently happening. We have some of our colleagues today who will be visiting, not tomorrow, who will be here in Cape Town in partnership with the Department of Science and Technology, I think Water Affairs and all of that. We are involving a CFIR and all of that. So it's a team that will actually look at this whole, you know, component of its own to see how do we then realize this objective that we have in mind. But it is a great idea, and it will make sure that it's women themselves who are not only, you know, like recipients of the product, but they are also producing the product themselves. It's just like in a nutshell, if I may just give you a sense. The tag itself, I'm told it's made out of tree, a part of some sort. And the tree is a tree that is somewhere here. It sends someone for processing, it comes back. But one is looking at what else can be done in that space. So I'm just giving an idea. But yeah, we are looking at it now, and we think it's a good suggestion for us to help us.
I'm asking for correction. Take a kiwi. And you look at the things that are wrong. Why should we always got a thing from us? We're not helping our people who are selfish. And as this department, we need to look deeper into the association.
So point noted, and there was a question from member on the framework. I have made a commitment that we are doing our level best to make sure that these frameworks are finalized sooner than expected. But we are also noting that, as I said earlier on, there are pockets of excellence in some of the departments. But because it's happening on an ad hoc basis, we would like to find a way of making so that it happens correctly from the planning cycle throughout the MTF the way it's supposed to be. So that was the hardest work, member. And when we give you progress on waterfall, we give you a sense of whether what plan is it that we have and where do we start. But it's something that we are working on still. Unless you can ask.
Thank you, Honourable Member. So the question of how does the department provide strategic leadership to other departments, which is really the central question that we face on a day-to-day basis. And given that we are relatively small, I'm saying relatively small, we do have certain budgets, we have to say, what small changes can we introduce that have a big effect? Again, it comes back to that idea that we are at the center of government. So what a couple of things we've already begun to do is to say, let's look at the existing planning, monitoring, evaluation system. and saying that let's take, and you know, we're very familiar with all the systems, for example, in DPME. Let's take the APP, which we, you know, form the basis of everything, even the departments are discussing, or sorry, that the Parliament is discussing, and the oversight committees are discussing at the national and provincial level. We started doing analysis of certain agencies. We focused on the economic cluster. To say, to what extent do these agencies include gender indicators? And what we found was actually really bad, to say that. So, you know, some of our big departments in the economic cluster are not putting targets related to gender at all in their agencies. So we said, that's the first thing we can do. We did the analysis, we provided a feedback, gender analysis of these agencies, and the committee would be familiar with the fact that DPME, one of their roles, they review APPs, they review draft APPs. They review first draft APPs and they review second draft APPs. And they send that analysis to the partners, to the DGs actually, to DGs and APPs and provincial level. So our analysis has now gone with the DPME analysis of draft APPs to those departments. And we did an analysis, we made some suggestions, but we said, it's up to you to put gender targets. And now the department is coming back to us and saying, please can we meet with you to assist us to what indicators to put them in push. Because we say, look, employment equity of yourself is not enough. It's important, yes. It's important that we have employment equity, women, black women in S&S and other posts. But it's not that. The partners that are delivering massive financial services, economic services to women out there, we need the partners. So I'm using that as an example of where we believe we are providing strategic leadership to the partners. The monitoring of the National Development Plan is also, through the outcome system, the 14 outcomes, we're also working with these. We've already made an input into the submission, which is about, you know, how to ensure that there is proper mainstreaming of gender indicators. In 2018, our focus is to say we need a gender policy and planning priorities. We are doing an end-of-term review, that's in our 18-19 APP, to reflect on progress made on gender issues since 94, but particularly in the last 5 years. That's one of our big projects. What that will tell us is where are the key areas. You know, for example, we have made important progress on maternal mortality. We have. If we look at the numbers, we've actually, as a country, we've made, it's still not good enough, but we have made progress. So we say if that's an area we've been doing better, let's see how women in the economy, we are, you know, women within the ownership and control and management of the economy, we're doing very, very poorly. That's an open secret, but as everybody knows that, that's clearly an area where we need to do more. So based on that review, we will then come up with policy interventions, proposed policy interventions, that would then influence the next term of government. Also looking at our SDGs, the AU gender strategy, we've got many commitments there. Rural women, what is the access of rural women to productive resources? Land, finance, access to markets, all of that. And what are we doing? That's the theme of CSW, which is coming up now in March. So those are some of our obligations, and then of course the NDP. So that would be our gender indicator framework, and that we will then ensure that those are better mainstream within the process, and that's how we will try to exercise that strategic leadership. Thank you.
Thank you.
I am listening to the response from the department. But my question is why does it take so long for them to do those things that they said they are going to do? Because now we are at the term ending of this department, you know. And maybe in future we would like the department to give us the report to say what they have achieved for each and every department. Because we know that this department, the other departments have huge budgets. For instance, the trade and industry, economic development, although there's more business and also having the limited resources. But we wanted to know from them what they have achieved in working together with this department and give us the number of women that have benefited since the inception of this department so that we can know exactly whether we have achieved anything from this department or we have not achieved. Thank you, Chair.
Engicela sihlalo bengiyokuqazingela inye ilanga u-agriculture angazi wenzanja nake besikele makhona into efana siyibuze kubona kodwa vaya nawe lomnyana engasiphetha hlobuyabona into ekhuluma ngendaba zomhlaba nabantu besifazane into eyihlukene kazikhulu nale nto yokuthuthukisa abantu besifazane abavuma ukuthi abantu besifazane thina besihlali la sokaze bayiyele khona kodwa kubambekayo kuphela la sihlale la sikhulume ngakho even basenzile umsebenzi ezandla ubuhlalu wenani bayabika ufana zathi nandi mpumalalane ukuthi la umuntu wesifazane ayikhombisa khona ukuthi uyinesele utshalile omaklabishi kodwa kukho ukhalekelela yonke lokhuzaka online province akekho la bangasikhombisa khona nasi la nabantu besifazane sebeyithuthukile and ngiyawuthanda futhi lo mbuzo ka-honorable useduze kwamuthi u-honorable Qhinga ukuthi ukuthi yini eyenza ukuthi bathathe isikhathi eside na ngesinye isikhathi bafuna abantu sisebenzisane nale minyango eminye ngiyabonga ngoba izinletho yemali azikho manje kwengezozitshela la into esingabonazi kudalwa ngoko nalabo 20 million angazichazi kangichazele ngabo ukuthi 20 million kurentwa ngawo.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think in future we need to request the Department of Agriculture together with this department so that now they will be able to tell us as to how can they empower women, because we don't see anything tangible from them. Now, when we go to other provinces, we've seen women doing bidding, doing handwork, but from their part, we don't hear anything in terms of assisting these women. Now, what I like about the question that was asked by Honorable Pelagin is that this question is relevant because it will assist us to find out as to what makes them to take so long in assisting our people. And also on this issue of renting offices for an amount of plus minus 12 million, they haven't explained anything. I still need clarification on that one. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I would like to remind members of the portfolio committee that all of us know that this department is not the implementing department. The only thing that this department to do is to monitor and evaluate other departments on the issues of social economic development of women. For instance, to look at the issues of gender violence. What other departments are doing, like for instance, the Department of Police, maybe they are
six point plan, as well as the issue of justice, whether there is justice on the issues of all those cases that have been reported by women on their gender-based violence. That's what I wanted to remind the members of the Portfolio Committee. There is all of us, because we can see that with the limited budget that is given to the State Department, does this department monitor and evaluate all other departments? That is why I'm saying that in the next meeting with the department, that maybe they can give us the report on how are they working together with those departments. Thank you, Chair.
The good work that has been done in as far as client payment of outside and 99% sometimes 100% compliance invoicing, commendable, and irregular expenditure. This is what I would like to see. There's some kind of comparison with the previous quarters. For instance, here there are 15 irregular expenditure transactions reported as of 30th of September, amounting to the 2.2 million, which Honorable Penny made mention of. How well did we do the previous quarter? I mean, if we could see that kind of comparison, just to see if we are going forward in as far as this particular performance is concerned. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Member. We will provide a report that the comparative analysis of our regular expenditure, maybe we should perhaps do it per quarter for this financial year, meaning for Q1, Q2, and Q3. And that will be submitted in our document pack for the next meeting. I guess just to take the office accommodation further, I think the point to note is that we remain locked in the contractual obligations until 2020. And we can only therefore consider any other options of buying a building for our own purposes once we are free of the relevant contractual obligations.
May I just pose a question? Writing rights is now there. All the hanging the last one being elected. Or you have other people who you still want to deal with.
Thank you. As it stands now, there is only one case to be to be finalized, and I think we did say that it will be finalized in the course of this week. I think the final hearing should be taking place this Thursday, the day after tomorrow. Now, obviously, that will be wrapped up, but I did indicate earlier that there are possible cases that will emerge from our attempts to institute some consequence management on the basis of irregular expenditure incurred in the previous financial year. And I did indicate that perhaps we could give a proper account of progress that would have been made in that regard. Now, obviously, that will create new cases that the department will have to attend to. We do not have consultants in the course of this quarter, except perhaps the researchers that are helping us to establish with certainty what are the needs, what are the demands for sanitary and dignity products in the respective provinces, particularly in Mpumalanga, in the Eastern Cape, and in KwaZulu-Natal. Now, but those are short-term research contracts involving experts. Thank you. Oh, and yes, and I think just following on what the department is doing, we are working with the University of Cape Town. Our objective is to try and understand how women are benefiting or have benefited from the various incentive schemes that are offered by the Department of Trade and Industry. Mm. Members will be aware of the 30% set aside, but we want to establish how have these incentives benefited women in the past, going back. Now, we have engaged UCT because we felt that they have the technical competencies to analyze the data and also for our findings to be more objective.
Thank you very much. We'll come to the end.
I think it's because we have ready enough time. Let us continue with adopting this meeting.
I don't know. But she asked me to. I don't know, hey, I think we are just going to have to think about it. I don't think we're going to go into it at all, actually. Even me as well. Yeah, that's how bad it is. No, we know, but at the moment.
Thank you.